Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You can read him. You can hear him at The Ringer. He's on a video series, Slow News Day. It's fun. He's busting chops with Phil Simms on his Twitter account. And you can go to that at By Kevin Clark. He's Kevin Clark. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Fun watching you bust chops at the Super Bowl Media Day with Phil
Simms.
Oh,
that was fun.
You did a good job.
Phil Simms is the man.
Yeah, you did a good job in that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, tell us, when you cover the Super Bowl this year, are the Browns going to be sitting there waiting for you to cover them?
We'll meet at the Stefanski Monday press conference. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
So, no, but it's going to be close. So, I think they're going to make... I think if I had to guess, they have a 50% chance maybe of making the Final Four. And by that, I mean, I think that they are in that mix with maybe 33%, because I think it's Chiefs are there, and then it's Ravens, Bills, Browns. And I think that by the end of this year, guys, the Browns roster is such that they're going to be in that second tier firmly. I think they're kind of on the second and a half tier right now. I think the Bills and the Ravens are a little better than them, but I believe in that roster. I believe in that coaching staff. I believe in Andrew Berry, the GM, who I profiled this week at The Ringer. And so I think they're moving in the right direction, and I'm looking at maybe a Final Four appearance this year, which means AFC title game, and then if they're going to compete for a real Super Bowl, that will be next year.
So just looking through your site, you have one of the headlines is who can beat the 2021 Chiefs without having to listen to it. Are the Browns one of those? Are the Browns one of those teams?
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about this week either. Yeah.
Yeah. The short answer is no one can beat the 2021 Chiefs if you played them 100 times. But who can beat them one time in January? Yeah, there's three teams, and I just named them: the Bills, the Ravens, and the Browns. And I think that you know sort of what that looks like. It's pass rush. It's getting to Mahomes. It's the ingredients that we all saw in the last game, the meaningful game we watched in the Super Bowl. And then I would say then beyond that, you have to hope that the Chiefs offensive line is not rebuilt in the way we all think it is. Maybe they have some issues there, some chemistry issues that never really click. I mean, another team, whether it's the Browns, the Ravens, the Bills, they're going to have to get lucky on the Chiefs end. If the Chiefs play the way that they're capable of doing for the entire year, no one in the AFC can beat them. Then we're just waiting around to see if the Bucs or the Packers could do it. But I think that if the Chiefs have some hiccups, and they might, I wouldn't bet on it. Then that leaves the door open because the Chiefs the Browns have the ingredients. Only question mark within that realm is they probably have the fourth best quarterback of those AFC contenders. But I think that the roster talent is such that the gap shortens with each week.
Kevin Clark joining us from The Ringer. What's more critical for the Browns becoming a better football team, Kevin? Is it the defense becoming good or the offense becoming elite?
Wow, that's a great question. I think it's the offense. You know, Shil Kapadia was on our podcast this week, and we were discussing exactly that. How do you beat the Chiefs? And the answer that he had, and I think other people around the league has, is you have to build up your offense, and you have to go toe-to-toe. And this isn't about – you're not going to beat Patrick Mahomes with defense only. You're not going to beat Patrick Mahomes 13-10. Not even the Legion of Boom could do that if they came back in their 2012 form right now. And so what you have to do is get enough from your defense and outscore the Chiefs, put up 45 points. So for me, it's the offense. I believe in the passing game in general is the best way to win a football game. I just think that's the most direct route for it. And I think that, you know, most people consider modern football to be your defense is just doing enough. It's not going to be elite. The only reason that the Bucs looked unstoppable on defense in the Super Bowl is because, A, they had a nasty pass rush, but, B, that the Chiefs had a banged-up offensive line. I think if you play that game 100 times with a healthy Chiefs offensive line, then it's a completely different situation. I think offenses, Nick Saban said it, offenses will always beat defenses now, and that was not the case for the first, 90 years of football. It's the case now. Load up on offense, do just enough on defense.
So, Kevin, one of the stories that just came out yesterday, right? Yeah, it was just yesterday, but time flies. Is the education of a young NFL front office phenom, where you're talking about Andrew Berry. And, man, you grabbed my attention right away when you talk about what the guy from the Harvard Crimson said about Andrew Berry while he was in school. Can you just tell people a little bit about your story and really what you did on the deep dive on Andrew Berry?
So in 2008, when Andrew Berry was, according to his coach, the probably the best defensive back in Harvard history, which I didn't know. Stefanski actually is the one who told me, I think everybody puts Ivy League players, and Stefanski was also one of Penn, in a box and says these guys can't play. No, Andrew Berry was way better within the Ivy League construct than Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski admits that. But in 2008, when Berry was starring for the Crimson, the school paper did a profile of him, and his coach at the time, who's still there, said, in 15 years, Andrew Berry is going to be running NFL team. He said, mark my words. And, of course, that coach was way off. It only took 10 years. And Andrew Berry beat all reasonable expectations. And there was just kind of this feeling around Andrew Berry every step of the way, whether that's Tom Telesco, who was an Indy, who gave him his first opportunity. He's now the Chargers GM. Whether that's Howie Roseman, who's the Eagles GM. I've talked to other people who've worked with Andrew Berry. They all saw this coming. I mean, it's not unlike the hype you hear around Trevor Lawrence, where it's from an early age we knew who Trevor Lawrence was, and he never made a misstep that made us think differently of him. And the front office career of Andrew Berry, he was always asking the right questions. It's funny because Telesco said that Berry was never trying to promote himself. He was never trying to rise up the ladder, which is very different than most people who are 22 or 23 in the NFL. And because of that, he rose up the ladder and promoted himself. So that to me was the funny thing about his demeanor and how it worked for him.
Kevin Clark joining us from The Ringer. This is kind of a vague thought, maybe. Andrew's come in and took what John Dorsey did, and I think he's done a great job in refining it. Could Andrew have done the heavy lifting as well as John did?
Well, I think you have to go back to the beginning, which is you have to also include Sashi Brown in this. And I know that gets into a different conversation.
When Andrew was with him,
right. And I think that you have to spread credit around in some regard. I mean, the Nick Chubb pick was because of the Osweiler deal. They got Denzel Ward because of the Deshaun Watson trade down. I mean, you can't tell the story of that roster. Baker and Miles are there because they tanked, basically, because they had Hugh Jackson for a couple of years. So you can't tell the story of this roster without those steps. It's an unanswerable question, except to say that we all sit around and said, could Dorsey have gotten them to the finish line? Could Sashi have gotten them to the finish line? It doesn't matter. Andrew Berry is the GM of the first team to win a playoff game in 26 years. He filled holes. That team that I certainly hyped up after the Odell trade, it had huge holes, especially around the offensive line. It was always going to be overrated. And looking back on it, I regret being that high on that roster. Andrew Berry took an incomplete roster and made it complete. And so I don't think that I think that if he was hired in 2015 and just had to do the whole thing, I think it'd be a completely different roster, obviously. But I do think that a lot of the decision-making was sound all along the way. And I think that the Berry-Stefanski kind of pairing here is going to be you know, Barry said this the other day, it's a culture of calm, which is what you need in Cleveland after all these stops and starts, is just calm. And that's what he's brought to that roster. That's what he's brought to the front office, the coaching staff, a culture of calm, which, as you guys know, I've been to, what, 9 training camps in Cleveland, haven't felt a lot of calm. Now I do.
Well, you have been here then.
It's like going to a spa. It was so easy to go to. They were That's what I said
when I was talking to Barry. I was sitting there on a chair right in Berea there, and I was just going through it, and I was like, you know, 10 feet to our left, I talked to Ray Farmer. I remember talking to Brad Childress 1 year. I'm talking to Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi, you know, 20 feet to our right. I mean, it's just like the ghost of Christmas past when you go to Browns practice, because you just remember all the different coaches, coordinators, GMs you've talked to in your time there. And now I get the feeling that I'm going to be talking to Andrew Berry at the same time in the same place for many years to come, for the first time in Cleveland.
You made me start to twitch. Sorry. Yeah,
well, that's right. Hey, when you bring this up, though, it makes me think about how fragile it is. So what if John Dorsey wouldn't have – I mean, played the what-if game all day. But if Dorsey doesn't hire Freddie Kitchens as the head coach, is Barry back? I don't think Barry comes back. And Dorsey may have had success with a different coach. It's fascinating to think about how one little thing leads to another.
Yeah, I mean, it's the butterfly effect. And yes, I agree that the Freddie Kitchens hire, and I'd also say, by the way, the Hugh Jackson hire. You know, I've heard from people kind of involved in that, kind of on the fringes, who have said that their theory is that the Browns were never really tanking. Hugh Jackson was just a really bad coach. So if they had made a better hire in either of those situations, everything changes. I mean, there's probably a scenario in which Sashi is still around. There's certainly a scenario in which Dorsey is still around. So, yeah, it's super fragile. That's just sort of the game in the NFL, is that, you know, and what if Belichick didn't resign from the Jets on a napkin the day after he took the job? There's just so many different little pieces of history that affect everything, and I would say that those bad Browns coaching hires are what led to the GM's departures, and it led to Cleveland being exactly where they need to be right now.
Kevin Clark from The Ringer joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at @byKevinClark, KEVIN. With your knowledge on Andrew Berry, what do you think his approach is on the Baker Mayfield contract extension, Kevin?
Slow playing it. It's interesting because he thinks about the quarterback position all the time. And every time I've asked him about what his football philosophy is, it starts with the quarterback and supporting that position with the lines, with the weapons, with the coaching staff, and making sure that that position is propped up. Now, that's something he learned from Howie Roseman in Philadelphia. It's something he learned from Bill Polian in Indianapolis, is take care of the quarterback and everything else will flow through that. Having said that, you know, they lead the NFL, guys, in what – there's a website called Over the Cap that tracks this. The Browns lead the NFL in quote-unquote high-priced players. So they make between $8 and $16 million, basically. And there's a lot of young talent on that team due for extensions. They've got to watch the cap really closely. And I know everybody says the cap is fake. I know everybody says it's going to go up a ton in 2023 or whatever. Well, it's not 2023 yet. And so I think you have to wait on that. I think you have to see what the market will bear. My guess is they end up doing it with a deal that kind of works for both sides. I don't think Andrew Berry is going to sign one of these ridiculous contracts that ends up putting the team in cap jail for 5 years if Baker doesn't work out. I think that there's a solution here. Maybe it's a longer contract. You saw Josh Allen do that a couple of weeks ago. They kind of bucked the trend of these shorter deals, kind of what Dak Prescott wanted and all that stuff. I think that there's a solution here, and Andrew Berry's going to find it.
I'm curious about something you said in the beginning about being able to work his way up the ladder without doing self-promotion.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, if you go back and look at the last 10, 15 years of any business, it just feels like with social media and everything, and I'm just – I know it's all about self-promotion. It's all about making sure your name is out there, making sure that someone can go and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm fascinated by the fact that Andrew Berry was able to make it there, you know, based on what you're saying, by not saying look at me. And to be honest with you, it's super refreshing.
So I'll tell you a funny story, guys. So that story posted at, I want to say, 6:30 a.m. I was doing a lot of work, so I kind of slept in the morning. And I had a bunch of texts as soon as I woke up, from number threes in the league, number fours in the league, different executives who I'd talked to in the past, and all of them, you could tell, were kind of sending me that and kind of wondering if I could write something about them, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm just like, did you guys misunderstand the article? He didn't do any of this stuff. You know, like 7 years ago, 5 years ago, he was not reaching out to reporters and saying, can you write about me? Can you get my name out of here? Can you get my name out here? All that stuff. Like Andrew Berry, the lesson of Andrew Berry when I talked to people who worked with him was he would get a task and he would do that to the best of his ability. It didn't matter what it was. And he wasn't trying to take on other responsibilities. He wasn't trying to make a power play. He was doing the best job he could while learning the most as possible. And so the big step for him was Howie Roseman was so impressed with him via Ryan Grigson that because they worked together. And Howie was so impressed that he gave him a bunch of responsibilities. He let him be the liaison with medical, with the analytics team, with security staff, and just gave Andrew a wider palette of things to do. But I don't think that if he hadn't gotten that, I don't think Andrew was going to freak out and ask for that stuff. I mean, I think that he's so smart and he understands decision-making and all that stuff, but I think that the overarching lesson is that he saw the ball and hit the ball. And I kind of think anybody who right now is 26, 27, 28, I think that that's what they need to learn. I think, you know, you can within that, you know, Ryan Grigson gave Andrew Berry some contracts to work on, that sort of stuff. Howie Rosen basically said that guys like him have such a diverse resume with the cap stuff, with the analytics stuff, that it's important. That's how he rose up so quickly. But what I would say is that, you know, I think a lot of young GMs or aspiring GMs can learn a lot from Andrew Berry and just how much he trusted the process, I guess you could say.
Kevin, last thing. Do you get the feeling in talking to Andrew Berry and seeing what Kevin Stefanski has done, you know, we've lacked continuity here. I think you laid that out pretty nicely with who you talked to and where they were. Do you get the sense that this is a combination that we could have here for a decade?
Yeah.
Or no?
Yes. I definitely do. They work well together. I don't think, listen, you never know on this stuff, but I don't think they have combustible personalities where in 3 years, if they have success, one guy wants a new title or one guy wants to bring in his own guy on this side of the ball, whatever. I mean, some of this stuff is you can tell. I mean, a great example is Trent Baalke and Jim Harbaugh were having all the success in the world. The GM and the coach start fighting, and then the whole thing unravels, and then, you know, it takes years for the Niners to get back to relevance. I don't think that's going to happen here. I think they have more personalities that gel a little bit more. I think that they're going to let – I think the stops and starts and how frantic everything has been, guys, over the past decade is probably, hopefully, going to lead Jimmy Haslam to sort of let these guys do their thing and not do anything other than that. Don't get the train off the tracks. These guys are two of the smartest people in football, and if you leave them to their own devices, good things will happen, and I hope everybody involved understands that.
Kevin, thank you very much for your time, and enjoyed the story on Andrew Berry and the insight that you gave us. Thank you.
Anytime, guys.
Kevin Clark of The Ringer.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.